Good morning and welcome to All Saints Forum in H. Ash Green. It's Sunday the 19th of July and this is our first live morning worship service since the lockdown began back in March, 4 months ago. So well done and welcome back to all you brave early adopters. Great to see you and to be gathered for live church once again. If you're listening at home, the church looks a little different. There are groups of four chairs separated by 2 meters distance, so there's much more room in the church. And there may be 20 to 30 of us gathered here this morning. Great to see you, Chelsea and Sharon, Izzy, my family are here, the Millers, Helen Swinstead, Julian and Jackie. I can't mention everyone, but really super to see you this morning. And great to see you in 3D. I don't know what it is. When you see someone on the screen, it's clearly the same person, but then you see them in 3D and there's something different. I can't quite work out what that is yet. Now, not everyone has made it to the barbers or the hairdressers since the lockdown lifted. Well, I haven't made it to the barbers, as a number of people have already mentioned. And so I'm glad that the live stream is only on audio this morning. We've been advised not to allow congregational singing as there's some evidence that it can spread the virus over a larger distance. And that is, of course, a great loss to us that we can't worship God in song at this time. So during the service, we'll continue with the podcast format, listening to 2 recorded worship songs. If you're listening at home, of course, you can sing to your heart's content. If you need to leave the building during the service, please would you exit into the churchyard on that side of the building over there. All the content you need for today's service can be found in a Bible and in the notice sheet. The notice sheet's available through the church website, and we're going to use the new international version of the Bible, the NIV. Alistair Grote will lead today's service, and I will be preaching with the title, United Together for Christ's Gospel.
Well, may I add my welcome to that of Francis, to our congregation of 20 or so here this morning, and just as importantly, welcome to those listening from home. For those of us who have been listening week by week during the lockdown, the pre-recorded podcast services have indeed been a real blessing, haven't they? And we really want to thank Julian Griffiths for all the work he's done editing and putting together the recordings. And we thank Julian today for his first attempt to get to live stream this service from the church. So thank you, Julian, for your skill and knowledge and serving the church in this way. So shall we just show our appreciation by giving him a big clap? So here we are at the start of our gradual return to our church building, I hope, and where today we can rejoice in the first verse of Psalm 122. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. But whether you are here in church or at home, we are still one church family worshipping together, worshipping our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So as we begin our service this morning, let us commit our time together in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord our God, you are worthy of all our praise. You are the God who never fails to keep his promises. We thank you that in Jesus' life, death and resurrection, we see your love, justice, mercy, provision, and victory. You are the God who lifts up those who are weighed down at this unprecedented and difficult time. You are the God who provides for your children at this time of hardship. We give you thanks for your protection over these past months. Our desire is to praise you as we gather together today in the reading and preaching of your word, in our prayers, as we gather together in church or at home, one fellowship in the Holy Spirit. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Now we can only listen to the hymns in Fordham Church this morning because government guidelines don't allow us to sing. But as Francis has already mentioned, for those of you at home, you can sing as loudly as you like. And so let's praise God together in the hymn, "Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven." Come to the point in our service where we pause for a moment to reflect on the times where we have fallen short of the Lord's standards. We read in Romans verse 23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And in today's reading, one verse in Paul's letter to the Philippians particularly struck me and warns, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain deceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves." How often are we lacking in Christ's humility and fail the Lord in this way? In 1 John verse 9, we read that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So we come before him now and say together the confession as printed on the service sheet. So we say together, "Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen." In Psalm 32 we read, Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Christ died for our sins. He made a full atonement for us. We are forgiven, and we have the promise of eternal life. May we know that forgiveness today and in the days to come. Amen. And now we say together the prayer our Saviour taught us, as printed on the service sheet. We say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Now Linda Stenner will bring us our Bible reading.
A reading from Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 to chapter 2, verse 4. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, or if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others.
Now, before Francis brings God's word to us today, let us remind ourselves what we and what Christians through the centuries believe as the essential truths of our Christian faith. So shall we stand and say the Apostles' Creed together? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again, ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you have a Bible with you, either a book or a digital version, it'd be good to have Philippians chapter 1 open in front of you, as we're going to look at some of those verses together. We're going to focus on the passage starting at verse 27, as the earlier verses were preached last week. Today's talk is titled United Together for Christ's Gospel. I've divided it into four sections to give you a roadmap, and there's space on page 4 of the service sheet if you like to take notes. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you now and we open our hearts to you, asking that you would speak to us and feed us. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from your mouth. So please teach us for our personal life, our family life, and for our life together as a church. Amen. My first point for today is gospel united. Living as a Christian is a team activity. Being followers of Jesus gives us a mission and a purpose. Paul wrote to the Philippian Christians to encourage and remind them of this. Christians have a team mission. It's to contend for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if we picture the church as a sports team, a good name for the team would be Gospel United. Like a team coach before the big match, Paul gives us a pep talk, verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. We all know how bad behavior by a team player can bring dishonor to the whole team. Think, for example, of all the doping scandals that have happened in the sports world in the last few years, and the effect of the public image on the team and even the country. Each of us who identifies as belonging to Jesus Christ needs to live in a way that's worthy of the gospel. And that's a great thing to pray for each day. Heavenly Father, please help me today to live as part of your church in a way that's worthy of your gospel. Why not make that a daily prayer? Paul, the team coach, says further on in verse 27, stand firm, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. Play as a team. And it's an important message, isn't it, as we slowly emerge from lockdown. There's been lots of teamwork during the last few months. Growth groups, care team, prayer focus meetings, setting up the Benevolent Fund, Christianity Explored, and all the work that's gone into enabling the podcasts and Zoom. But many of us have also become accustomed to being at home with just a few people, haven't we? Paul was calling the Philippians to contend for the faith of the gospel as one man, as one person, united, standing firm. And it's the same calling today as we begin to emerge from the social distancing. If you're a sports fan, you'll know the joy and pleasure of watching a team as they play with what you might call liquid flow, playing as one unit, one organism, seamlessly moving the ball around. Well, think about your contribution to the gospel efforts of our church to contend for the gospel. How are you going to play on the team in the coming 12 months? Churches that stay strong and prevail through difficult circumstances, like a pandemic, are churches that know what their mission is and remain committed to it. Our mission is the promotion of the good news gospel. That was Paul's mission, and he refers to it several times through this first chapter in this letter to the Philippians. He writes about partnering in the gospel, advancing the gospel, proclaiming the gospel, defending the gospel. And these kinds of words map well onto a sports team image, don't they? Advancing, defending, contending. So firstly, for today, think gospel united. Living as a Christian is a team activity. Paul uses the word gospel a lot in this letter, maybe 9 or 10 times. But he didn't spend much time explaining the content of the gospel message, as he does in some of his other letters. Now, why is that? Interesting question to ask. I think the best answer that I can see is that he was confident that the Philippians already understood the gospel, so he doesn't need to explain it all. But let us consider for a few minutes, what is the gospel which the church contends for? This is my second point. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. When we study the Bible, when we learn from it, we come to understand what the gospel message is. And this is how Paul puts it in another of his letters, a letter to the Christians in Colossae, the letter to the Colossians. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. At the heart of the gospel is the most wonderful truth that through Jesus you and I can be reconciled to our Creator God. The gospel deals with humanity's fundamental problem. Humans are relationally distant from God. And this is the case even for many religious people. Paul writes about being alienated from God and even enemies of God. Imagine a human family where a father and his adult children don't relate to each other anymore because of something that went wrong in the past. This image hints at our natural state in relation to God when we're without Jesus Christ. When we study the Bible, we discover that it comes very naturally to us to ignore God and to do the opposite of his wise commands. We naturally like to live our way, not his, enjoying all the good things of his creation, but ignoring him, the Creator, who gives life to everything. And this is the problem that the gospel deals with. The Bible uses the word sin to sum up this reality. Now, the COVID-19 pandemic has created countless problems and difficulties for people all over the world. At the moment, COVID-19 is a universal human problem for which we eagerly await a vaccine. But the sin pandemic is, in fact, a deeper problem for humanity than COVID-19. The gospel is the good news of a cure for the sin problem. And the good news is that there is already a vaccine. The vaccine is a gift from God for us. And the gift is his Son, Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 22 again. But now, God has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death. This is why Jesus' death and return to life are at the heart of the gospel. When Jesus hung on the cross, he took the punishment that our sins rightfully deserve. Jesus was punished instead of us. When he rose back again to life on the first Easter Sunday, he showed his power to defeat death, both for himself and for us as well. Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection make a way for the alienation between us and God to end. That's why the cross is the central symbol of the Christian religion and why we have it on the Lord's table just behind me. So how do we receive this sin vaccine? We come to Jesus and we believe in him. We come saying sorry for our rejection of God and his commandments. We put our trust in Jesus as the one who took the punishment in our place. In the gospel, God resolves the fundamental human problem, which is the moral distance between his glory and our sinfulness. And in the gospel, we're invited to come into the life, hope, and community of the Gospel United team. This is why our church mission statement, which is on the front page of today's service sheet, is to know Jesus Christ and to make him known. Jesus makes all the difference. He reconciles us to God. This is the gospel which the church contends for. If you'd like to spend more time thinking on this topic, I encourage you to listen back to my talk from the 10th of May, titled Saving Lives, the Pandemic and the Vaccine. You can listen again through the website in the sermon archive. So far, we've seen that living as a Christian is a team activity, and we've thought about the gospel for which we contend together. Now, the issue that Paul is particularly addressing in today's Bible passage is the pressure to give up on contending for the good news gospel. That's perhaps what he was concerned about for the Philippian church. The Philippian church was a great church. They had a really good relationship with Paul. They loved him. Epaphroditus came all the way on that long journey to see Paul in prison to bring a financial gift. But they were also a real church, full of real people like us, living in the real world. And they faced pressures to stop them contending together for the gospel. So thirdly, remain gospel united in the face of external opposition and internal conflicts. The Philippian church faced pressures from without and within, from outside the community and from within the community. And this is why Paul urges them to live in a manner worthy of the gospel. It's why he wants them to contend as one man for the faith of the gospel. And although the culture around us is different to the Philippian culture, we face just the same kind of pressures today. In verses 28 and 29, Paul writes about those who oppose them and the suffering that the Philippians experienced because of this. Now, I'm actually going to pass over that. It's an important point, but I'm going to pass over it today simply for lack of time. And I do encourage you to pursue that in your growth groups this week and also in your own personal Bible study. I want us to focus for the remainder of this talk on the other pressure that they faced, that is the internal conflicts within the community. Gospel reconciliation with God through Christ doesn't automatically mean that we get on with everyone in the church or agree on everything. So for All Saints Church to remain gospel united, we need to be otherish. And this is my fourth and final point for today. Gospel unity in the church comes through being otherish. Now, otherish is an unusual word. It wasn't in the Oxford Dictionary when I looked it up this week. In fact, on Friday morning, I thought I'd invented the word. But I found other people using it on the web. Being otherish is simply the opposite of being selfish. In chapter 2, verse 3, Paul writes this. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Be otherish, not selfish. Now, this is very important to understand, especially if you're a new Christian or a younger member of the church. When a person discovers the gospel and turns to Christ, they can be full of joy and wonder. They've discovered the best news in the world. But then, church can be a little bit difficult. And this is why the message of Philippians is a message that every Christian church has needed to hear down through the centuries. And it's no different for us in the 21st century. Through trusting in Christ, we're brought onto the gospel united team, but every Christian needs to strive to remain gospel united. And the way we do this is in verses 3 and 4 of chapter 2. Put aside selfish ambition in the church and in your life. Consider others in the church family to be better than yourself, and look to the interests and concerns of others. This is all much easier said than done. And it remains an ongoing issue throughout each of us in our Christian life. If the church is going to function as a witness to the gospel, we need to cultivate an attitude of other-centeredness. If the church is going to contend for the gospel, we need to put aside selfish ambition and prayerfully seek to be otherish. This teaching is deeply challenging. If we allow it, it cuts right to the middle of us. We need to work out our reconciliation with God by striving for reconciliation within the church community. Famously, Paul wrote to two women in the Philippian congregation. He mentions them in chapter 4, verse 2, a little later on in the letter. This is what he says. It's just a short sentence. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. They were two women who contended with Paul for the cause of the gospel. He knew them well, but Epaphroditus had brought the sad news that they'd fallen out. The letter doesn't reveal the specific issue, but any of you who are really involved in the life of All Saints Church, or indeed who are in the middle of any church, will know that this is normal church life. This happens. People who are equally committed to Christ can fall out badly over specific things. It's painful to experience and it's painful to watch. So Paul pleads with the congregation at the beginning of chapter 2 to be like-minded because they're united with Christ. He urges them to be one in spirit and purpose. He urges them to put aside selfish ambitions and to consider others better than themselves. That last thing's a really difficult thing to do, isn't it? This teaching is directly transferable to us. Gospel unity in the church comes through being otherish. And here we find a prescription for a church that is going to persevere. The word love is an elastic word which is used in many contexts. But here we see what Christian love is. Love for our Christian brothers and sisters. Considering others better than ourselves. So in summary, today we focused on being united for Christ's gospel. We've seen that living as a Christian is a team activity. We thought about the gospel that we contend for, the gospel of reconciliation with God through his son Jesus. And we've come to the core message of the letter. We need to remain gospel united in the face of external opposition and internal conflicts. Gospel unity in the church comes through being otherish. And the secret ingredient in all this is humility. Next week, we'll see how the humility that Jesus demonstrated in becoming a human and humbling himself to the awful death of a cross is actually the ethical principle and example for relationships in the church. Let's have a moment of quiet for each of us to reflect on God's word on our own. Our next song is a prayer asking for the help of God's Holy Spirit to make us otherish, so that through our unity, the face of Christ may be clear for all to see. We're going to pray together now. I will end each prayer by saying, "Your kingdom come." Please respond, "Your will be done." Heavenly Father, we come to you in the middle of this difficult time. Often we find ourselves confused and exhausted by all the changes in our society. But we come to you with thanksgiving. We thank you for our homes, our families, and our networks of friends and neighbours who support us at this time. We thank you for all the key workers who continued through the core weeks of the lockdown. And we thank you for a stable and highly organised government to lead us at this time. We thank you for our church community who have supported us, and especially the care team who are serving in a particular way during these social restrictions. And we thank you that each week we've been able to meet together as a church through the podcasts, through Zoom coffee, and the prayer focus meetings. For all these good things, we give you thanks. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We thank you especially for your gospel message that brings reconciliation between us and you. We ask for fresh desire in each of our hearts to contend together for the faith of the gospel. We thank you so much that we have a real purpose, the most important purpose in the world. Help us by your generous grace to be like-minded, united in gospel partnership, and live together in a manner worthy of the gospel. Heavenly Father, this is not easy, and we cry out to you for your Spirit's work in our hearts, to decrease our selfish ambition and to increase our focus on the interests of others. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We ask for your help as we seek to re-establish gathering on Sundays and to restart ministries to children and young people in our church. At this time, we ask for your blessing on the Zoom Babies and Toddlers group. We ask for your blessing on the Matthew group meeting on Zoom for the first time this afternoon. And we ask for your blessing on the All Saints School Zoom Leaver service tomorrow evening. We ask that you'll lead the way for us to re-establish the 421 Youth Group and the All Saints Club. And we pray for the devotional life of our church families at home. Would you please help dads and mums to lead their children in training and instruction from your Bible? Your kingdom come, your will be done. We thank you today for the life of Reverend James Packer, known to many as J.I. Packer, who died on Friday at the age of 93. We thank you for his life and ministry in the Global Church, and particularly the Global Anglican Church. We thank you for his writing ministry and his lecturing at Regent College in Vancouver. Thank you for all that you gave us in the Church of England through his ministry. Today we celebrate his life and give thanks for him. Your kingdom come, your will be done. In a moment of silence, please pray for someone you know who has a particular need at the moment. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Finally, we pray for Atash Green and Fordham, the two villages which we have a particular calling to serve. Please lead us as a church, use us, enable us to be a blessing to the people of these two villages. We think of those who've lost paid work, those who are lonely, those who are finding life to be meaningless. As we seek to advance your gospel, may many people receive the greatest gift of reconciliation with you through Jesus. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Some items of church family news as we come towards the end of this service. Later today at 4 p.m, our Matthew group for young people aged 11 and up is meeting again for the first time since March. They'll be meeting on Zoom. Please do pray for God's help with this. And if you'd like to join in but you aren't yet signed up, please would you ask your mum or dad to get in touch with my wife, Georgina. There's an All Saints Club video for children up to 11 years, which you can access through the website. Ruth has been producing these each week during lockdown, and you can watch all 16 videos that she's made through our church YouTube channel. And I look forward to seeing many of you who are listening at home, and maybe some of you who are physically present at the moment on Zoom for our regular virtual coffee this morning at 11:30. Many of you will know Ayla Gage, who served as associate minister in our church for a number of years, notably in the interregnum between Mike Neville's departure and John Parker starting. Ayla's been working as associate minister for 6 years at St. Peter's Colchester, and he's going to finish at the end of August. If you're able to give a financial gift to help him and Lisa over the next year, that would be wonderful. Further details and how to give are in today's service sheet, and the deadline for gifts is, I think, the 17th of August. The date is in the notice sheet. Next Sunday, we have our second trial service back in the Fordham Church building. Do come and join us. Paul Southern will be preaching with the title, Have the Mind of Christ, Your Saviour. During the service, we'll say thank you to Ruth Reynolds for her 10 years of service as the church schools worker. And we'll also have a mid-year update. Our treasurer, Roger Miles, will give a presentation on our current financial picture, looking at how it's gone over the first half of the year. And I will speak about strengthening our church as we look ahead to the next 12 months. Full details are on the church website, and we ask that you book seats in advance, contacting Rachel Gage by 2 p.m. on Thursday. We'd like the live services to continue through August, and the key help we need for this is to have enough people who are willing to serve as stewards for the Sunday services. Training will be provided next Sunday before the service. If you're able to serve in this way, please contact the church office as soon as possible. The PCC will need to make a decision on Tuesday evening. For the next academic year, Oak Hill College will be introducing flexible learning modules through Zoom. This sounds like a great way to grow in your Christian faith and your usefulness for Christian ministry. Details are on page 8 of the service sheet, with a list of 16 modules, including church history, doctrine, and Christian ethics. Please have a look at the notice sheet for further items of church news. In a moment, Alistair is going to end the service with a prayer and a blessing. After that, please remain seated until a steward advises you to leave. They'll show you which exit you should use. The government guidance is that when attending a public gathering, you should only socialise with those that you've come with. Now, we know that this is very hard to follow as we've not seen each other for so long, have we? And we want to say hello to as many people as possible. However, please remember that across the world, churches have seen clusters of cases and we want to do all that we can to show love to our church family and to keep each other safe. So please remember to follow all the social distancing guidelines as you leave the building.
Well, thank you, Francis, and we pray like Paul, whatever happens, we may conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And also that we may become united in the gospel and become the team All Saints, Fordham and Ashton Green, striving to be in the Premier League. Now we'll end our service with a prayer and a blessing. Go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold fast to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honour all people. Let us love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us, and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.